Welcome to the Nuclear Lounge Podcast. I am your host, Fernando Anleo. I am nuclear medicine technologist, and it is my honor to guide you through this captivating journey into the world of nuclear medicine. Welcome to the Nuclear Lounge Podcast. Today, we're honored to have a seasoned professional join us. Her career spans diverse roles in training, sales, marketing, and management within healthcare, bringing a wealth of knowledge and experience to our conversation. But before we dive in, I want to say thank you so much for helping shape my early career as a student and always encouraging me to want more, be a better technologist, and of course, further my career by getting me involved in the extracurriculars of NukeMed, which is applying to positions on the business side of things. So I just wanted to take the time to show my appreciation. So without much further ado, Lisa Hazen.
Now you're going to make me cry. Thank you for that. It's been my pleasure to help mentor you, Fernando, and thank you for having me.
So, Lisa, I'm very interested in knowing what made you choose a career as a nuclear medicine technologist.
So, like pretty much everybody in nuclear medicine, I had no idea that this profession even existed at the time. When I was in high school. So my plan was to become a drug dealer, and I pursued pharmacy and went off to Ferris State, and that was going to be the plan. And after getting a job in a pharmacy and figuring out that counting pills day in and day out was extremely boring for me, like all good college students, what can I do that won't waste all the time and money that I have invested?
Right.
And I was lucky enough to be able to shadow a technologist that was local to me and found nuclear medicine, was enrolled into the program, and my life has been changed ever since.
All right.
So that's kind of how I found it, and I'm glad that it all happened.
That's quite the career shift you had there. That's great to hear that. You know, just like all of us, we all have our interesting stories. And what I've found that a lot of people come from not knowing what they're going to do or not knowing what nuclear medicine is all about. And once they get into it, they love it. So
yeah, we are definitely a group of people that kind of fall into our profession.
Yeah.
And are typically highly educated because we've all had some other type of goal when we first entered college, whether it be pharmacy or physicians or optometry or whatever it would be. And then we all kind of migrate into the nuclear medicine program.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So you've had a diverse career spanning roles in training, sales, marketing, and management within the healthcare and pharmaceutical industries. How did your early experiences as a nuclear medicine technologist shape your approach to these roles?
I was very lucky because I spent probably about a third of my career in clinical. And that really gave me a good foundation so that I was able to grow as a technologist. I was very blessed and had a super manager at one point in my career that really allowed me to spread my wings, and I got involved in coding and reimbursement and looking at our charges that the hospital would do, and took on vendor relationships, purchased equipment, purchased day-to-day, articles that we needed, and really got into the whole role, not just coming in, drawing doses, scanning patients, and going home. And that really kind of helped shape my career because it gave me a vast amount of experiences that a lot of technologists don't embrace in their clinical aspect of their career. And so that really did help me when it came time for me to transition into the industry side of things. So that a good foundation that's broad served me well.
I agree with you. I feel like having a good base, it's fundamental to not only be involved as a technologist, but also get involved as a volunteer, get involved in different positions. And I know you've been very involved in the field and have held many positions at chapter and national level. Would you say your involvement in committees have provided a different perspective in nuclear medicine?
Yeah, it's definitely has opened my eyes that the networking that you have the opportunity to do with not just local technologists, but technologists from across the country, sometimes throughout the world.
Oh, yeah.
is just amazing. A lot of people don't find value in Society of Nuclear Medicine or participating in committees and things of that nature. But really, there is no other experience like it. If it wasn't for my network, I wouldn't be where I am today. It's when they say it's who you know, not what you know. There's a little bit of truth to that.
Yeah.
And if you network with your professional society, you can make a difference, and it helps you feel like you've made a difference too. Like mm-hmm. you are contributing, right? We're all put on this earth for a reason, and you need to find that passion from a professional standpoint, not just a personal standpoint, and take advantage of those opportunities. A lot of times SNMMI and your local chapters and things like that really allow you to spread your wings and experience different things, get involved. And it doesn't have to be an all or nothing event. There are little things that you can do, little things you can participate in, and never leave the comfort of your home. Mm-hmm. Being involved has definitely been a huge value in my career. And I encourage everyone to at least check things out, attend a meeting, ask questions, talk to somebody who is a member, because it is worth it if you really want to grow your career.
I absolutely agree. I feel like it does open a lot of doors. Once you get more involved, you start understanding how things work and how everything's pieced together. And that's one of the great things. I mean, for example, you work with ART, with the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists. And I know there was a lot of significant networking and relationship building efforts. Can you share a bit about your strategies for connecting with program directors, students, and professional societies to increase certification exam participation?
Yeah, definitely, Fernando. So when you look at the profession of nuclear medicine, right, we all tend to go, oh, well, NMTCB, that's our certification board, right? And ART actually has been around longer than the NMTCB for certification for nuclear medicine. But a lot of people do not find value in that because ART in many different ways kind of supports more of the radiology modalities, right? The CT and the MRI and what have you. And that's all fine and dandy. But as the relationship manager, it was my job to go in and actually start working with students and program directors to help them see the value of what that certification can actually bring them. And there's been times in my career where people have come to me and have said, oh, how can I do this or how can I do that in relationship to ART certification? And in some cases, people were able to open doors because they had it. And in other cases, doors were shut because they didn't have it. The world is a different place now. And so you really need to set yourself up for success. So yes, it's more expensive to take two certification exams, but is it worth it? It might be. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kind of have to go, I've gone through all this schooling and I've come this far. You know, do I stop or do I embrace it all and then just see where everything falls? And so building relationships with the students and kind of giving them real life situations and being honest about things really goes a long way.
Yep, I agree.
Not just saying, oh, well, you need to do it. I mean, I grew up in the era where you know, my instructor said, you're sitting for both.
Yep.
And we being who we were in that generation, we're like, okay, we'll do it. You know, no questions asked. It's what we do. And, you know, the generations now are more, well, why? You want more solid proof as to what is the benefit?
Mm-hmm.
What do I get out of it? And that's not a bad thing. And so being honest with students as to why it might be a benefit for them and being supportive of the program directors was super huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't have a resource, they feel lost. It was a great experience. Yeah. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. No, I personally have both. Early on, I knew that obviously having both of them was going to be, it would open a little bit more doors just for the fact that that's what I heard. I heard people talk about, you need to have both because some places prefer both. And then one place prefer one over the other one. And that whole thing, I was just like, let me just get both, make sure that I'm covering in case of anything. So that's honestly one of the reasons why I have both. Now I see where you're coming from. So I have a question about your involvement with Inventive Health Clinical. So you were heavily involved in the launch and promotion of new radiopharmaceuticals like Xofigo. What were some of the key challenges and successes in introducing these innovative treatments to healthcare providers and the public?
So I was on a consulting team for Bayer when they launched Xofigo. A lot of things were decided for us, and we were just the town criers. But the one thing that really kind of kept me unsettled about the whole launch process was the fact when we would go into a nuclear medicine department specifically and say, hey, let's talk about this opportunity. And it wasn't 5 minutes into the conversation and it was like, oh, let radiation oncology deal with it. And sometimes I just wanted to shake people.
Oh.
Because it's like, okay, this is our profession. This is what we are trained to do. We invest a lot of money in our education. We invest a lot of time in our clinical hours so that we can handle radioactive sources in all different kinds of forms, right? Mm-hmm. And so to just pass it off to another modality because you're not interested creates this turf war that we kind of went through with cardiology mm-hmm. when all the tech tracers came out. It was like, oh, cardiology wanted to do it, and this one wanted to do that, and what have you, which is great. Everybody can have a piece of the pie. But when you're looking at a modality and what we specialize in and we don't embrace it, that is like, it breaks my heart because of the fact this is what we need to be passionate about. And we need to hold on to it. It's what creates our FTEs. And when you think about the theranostics that are coming down the pipe, has that precedent been set now with Xofigo? Like, oh, radiation oncology can do it. So are these salespeople automatically going to go to radiation oncology and cut nuclear medicine out? We hear a lot about, oh, we have to create this multifaceted team for theranostics, and that's great. Just make sure that we're part of that team
mm-hmm.
So that we don't lose what we do best. And so that was a big learning experience in my days with Bayer and launching Xofigo and that kind of thing. It was like, yeah, I just wanted to shake some people going, no, you really don't want to say no.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. It's good to hear that perspective, you know. Another thing that I had a question, so a student came up to me and asked me at one of the meetings, what does FSNMTS mean after somebody's name? And that's the fellow of the Society of Nuclear Medicine Technology section. I know this is a great award to have, and it's prestigious. Could you elaborate on the award and how it has impacted your professional journey?
Yeah, I actually received my fellow award in my mid-30s. And I kind of jokingly say it was when I couldn't say no. So I was heavily involved in the Society of Nuclear Medicine. I chaired a lot of committees. I was very active in the central chapter, which is, of course, you know, this one of the chapters underneath the SNMMI umbrella. And basically, I met all of the criteria that is outlined on that application. So there's community service, there's lectures that you need to do or be published in some way, community service stuff. So it's kind of an all-around, have you developed into this well-rounded person kind of award. Mm-hmm. With a nuclear medicine focus. And like I said, jokingly, I say it's my when I couldn't say no award, but it's kind of nice to have. Mm-hmm. Many chapters will nominate technologists for the award and pay the fees and whatever associated with it. It does show that you care about your profession. You care enough to get involved and to help out and get your hands dirty. And has it really helped my career any? I can't say that it's been a life-changing experience. Mm-hmm. Professionally, yeah. But it is nice to write those letters after my name every once in a while.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I think SNMI, SNMITS, they offer different awards, and this is one of the ones that obviously you get to show off. So it's nice to have that. I'm sure that's kind of nice just writing in. People kind of already recognize that, oh, they've been very involved. They've been very, they've been part of the whole process. So that's great. That brings me to my next question. So if you could give any advice to students or any individuals considering a career in nuclear medicine, both in terms of education and career development, what would that sound like?
Well, I'm probably the biggest nuclear medicine cheerleader known to man. So, of course, my answer to everyone when they're considering nuclear medicine as an option for their career, I'm like, yes, do it. But with the caveat of make sure you visit someplace or visit more than one place to really see what happens in a technologist's day-to-day life. Because not all departments run the same. Not all departments have the same types of scans that come through their door. I mean, you could look at a dedicated cardiac clinic versus maybe, you know, a PET facility versus a general nuclear medicine in a major trauma hospital. They're all going to offer you a different aspect of nuclear medicine. And so definitely check it out. There are a lot of naysayers out there, a lot of them, and they're quick to say, go into nursing and go into this and go into that. Those are all good professions. But if your heart has led you to nuclear medicine and you're actually considering this as a profession, that means that you have outside forces working with you because, mm-hmm. like we started off this conversation, no one knows about nuclear medicine. So if you know about it, something is pushing you this way. So definitely check it out. As far as your education goes, embrace it, right? Figure out every pathway. Take advantage of every opportunity you have. Get involved in the society as a student. Start networking. Print up business cards. Mm-hmm. You know, start talking to people. Get your LinkedIn page going with a professional look. Really start developing yourself to then move into the role of technologist. And you can have a very successful career if you want one. And you also can be a button pusher if that's what you want out of your career as well. So you make it what it is. And that probably goes for any career. So, yeah, I'm all for helping people and mentoring people and, you know, really making sure that our profession grows and there are enough technologists to go around so that patients in the end can get what they need.
Yeah, correct. It's all about the patient, honestly. I do like the idea that you mentioned about go visit other places, because you have places that are very fast paced, places that are in a slower, they have a slower pace. So it's what you fit into as well. Because you could be super smart and go to a place where fast pace may not work out well for you. So it's good to get a feel for exactly what you want to do and exactly what you want to go into. That goes along with specialties, which brings me to my next question. What if you could specialize in nuclear medicine, what would it be and why?
So I'm kind of like past the highlight of my career path now, you know, like we're on the other side of the hill.
Oh my gosh.
I've been doing this for 34 years, right?
Definitely got quite the experience, I tell you what.
So, you know, we're looking at the other side of the hill now. If I had to do it over again or was just starting out, I would definitely embrace getting a master's degree.
Okay.
I would definitely embrace becoming multimodality certified in CT, MR, if possible. PET, definitely. Even though PET is bundled into nuclear medicine, if you can get those credentials and have them be like more power to you. And the thing that I really regret coming along the pipeline when it did in my career is the NMAA program, which the Nuclear Medicine Advanced Associate's degree. So your nuclear medicine PA, right? If it would have come into being 10 years earlier, I would have been all in, right? Because this is going to be the pathway in nuclear medicine in the future. So this type of advanced associate degree, PA, if you will, type of position is only going to become a super, super sought after thing as time goes on. And it'd be great to be able to be that person, to take our education and our abilities to handle isotopes and do injections and that kind of stuff, and then take it to the next level where you can actually go ahead and, you know, counsel the patient if you're doing therapies, follow up with patients, interpret and do a wet read on certain things and that kind of stuff. I just think that would be super fulfilling. You know, a little bit late for me, but all you youngsters, go for it.
Hey, it's never late. You can always sign up and get on that.
You're funny, Fernando.
I do agree with the multimodality a lot. I think it's just a great tool to have, being able to cross-train and being able to get those certifications. As we become more advanced with diagnostics and PET and everything coming down the pipeline, I think it's super important to have those credentials behind your name as well. So, yeah. And along with the NMAA program, I might look into that. I think I would really appreciate that, and I would really like that. So
yeah, I can see you doing that.
Yeah, we'll see. To be determined.
I'll help you get there.
Okay. All right. All right. I will not say no to that. And my last question: what is your favorite radiopharmaceutical, and why?
Well, I guess because of where the profession is heading, I would say I-131.
Okay, nice.
Just because it's kind of the grandfather of therapies, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of what got us into doing iodine therapies for thyroid, and now we're on the verge of doing alpha emitters and still iodine therapies, you know, with different things attached to the molecule and stuff to treat different diseases. But the one thing that is super cool about iodine, I think, and when it comes to therapy, is that if you're doing the therapy and you're treating the disease, we can still image it. Mm-hmm. And we get good images. We don't get crappy images that take forever because, you know, the photo peaks aren't there.
Yep.
So I really kind of like iodine because, you know, it gives us the best of both worlds. It gives us good images, and it allows us to treat disease as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I do like iodine as well. I-131 in general. I have a love relationship with that radiopharmaceutical, especially during my internship. So,
did you have a spill?
No, I did not have a spill with that one. Thank goodness. Anyways, thank you so much for being part of this podcast. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge. So hopefully we can have you in the near future.
Thanks, Fernando. I appreciate you asking me to come and visit with you. And anytime, if anybody wants to reach out, feel free.
Awesome. Oh, you heard it. Reach out. Until next time.